Welcome to the Feel Great Podcast. This is Matthew Collinson.
And this is Alan Francis. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Feel Great. My name is Matthew Collinson.
And this is Alan Francis. And with the right daily habits, you can feel great.
I love that, man. That's one of my fun things. Like, I'm so glad you came up with that. That was a great tagline. Those daily habits, though, man, are super important. But today we are going to be talking about self-efficacy or self-belief, as it were. How do you believe in yourself, and how does that belief get you feeling great, get you from my point A to point B? And what is that belief in yourself that actually gets you to overcome those obstacles? I think it's a very interesting topic, that self-belief. What do you think about that belief in yourself? Like, how important is that in order to help you feel great?
It's way important. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's another one of those daily habits. You know, if you're gonna keep moving towards your goal where you want to be in life, you have to have a high self-efficacy. You have to believe in yourself. You have to feel like you're capable of anything you want, anything you set your mind to.
I find that the environment seems to create the part of us that tells us that we can't do something, that we're not allowed to do something, that we're not allowed to think about something in a certain way. I feel like our environment, as we've grown up, has kind of smashed that piece of us out, at least in the school systems and that kind of thing. I see it all the time with my kids.
And definitely.
I always make sure to reinforce that, look, you can do anything you put your mind to, but you have to believe in yourself. You have to, like, trust the path, whatever that is, and you have to love it. So if you're not, like, loving that path that you're on, I wonder how we can help people to transition their self-belief system, though. How do people get out of that thing that they were taught to get them where they want to be? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, something that I have to constantly remind myself when I have come across environmental schools, friends, you know, people around me saying that, you know, I cannot do something, I've had to remind myself that's not my story. That's their story. You know, for whatever reason, you know, that's their story that they're putting on me for whatever reason. And that doesn't have to be my story. So that's number one. Number two, for me, it's a learned skill, learned personality trait. I think, I don't think we are created to doubt ourselves, but I don't think we're created to believe in ourselves either. We have to experience when, and then that instills in us, it's like positive reinforcement. You know, we set the goal, we take the journey, we get the win, and that hammers down the positive reinforcement that helps our believing in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I want to hop back to that first point you made, though, of people around you, the environment around you.
Yes.
That comes down to choice, which I didn't really realize until more recently. And I think that could help some people, is learning how to set boundaries with what you're willing to accept in your life. Like, I'm constantly going through my social media, for instance, like Facebook, and scrolling through my feed. And if I ever find, like, negative things going on, I literally, like, get that person out of my social atmosphere, because I want to only head up. I want to go towards a positive direction. And the only way to do that is to keep that positive thinking on your mind all the time. It's what you keep on in the front of your mind is what happens, what appears. So I find that boundaries helps that piece in particular. Do you make boundaries around yourself as well?
I have to. I mean, I'm getting it's a work in progress. I haven't before, but I'm finding that, especially now, you know, with what I want to achieve, I'm asked to set boundaries. You know, I'm the same way. You know, if I run into negativity, I have to bounce out of there. You know, if it's a, you know, say, you know, I'm at work and it's, you know, two coworkers, you know, dissing on the job and, you know, just, you know, being a negative mindset, like, you know, I'm a victim for having to be here, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have to just excuse myself from, you know, that space and, you know, go talk to someone else or, you know, just get in a different area. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what it is about negativity that can attach to people.
Well, it's the energy for sure. I mean, everything is energy, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody's saying something negative about somebody else or a situation, doesn't matter, saying anything negative, it's going to have that pulling effect, that downward spiral effect that we always talk about in NG. And that's like, how do you get out of that? You start with like gratitude and the other positive energies. And that's how you start to shift that up. But I find that when you do it more and more often, I'm finding more and more stuff slides off of me, which is good news. Like, I like that boundary. That's kind of neat to be able to play with that. I was just talking to one of my mentors the other day and we were going over a self-perception chart and I was explaining to him that we go over this chart so that we can shift gears throughout the different emotions and feelings. That way, when we are at a higher energy level, we can reach down and help somebody else up that's in that lower energy field. But we can't get stuck in that lower energy field with them.
Right. now for those listening that don't know what it is, what is a self-perception chart?
Okay. The energetic self-perception chart is I'll put a link in the description as well so that people can actually visualize it and see it. It's on a lot of websites, copyrighted around 2006 by Bruce Schneider, it says. But it goes into like apathy and anger are like the lower energies. That's one and two. So that's like your victim mode, your lethargy, your conflict, your defiance, you know, that kind of feeling that you know you're not in a great state when you're feeling those things. So it kind of sucks you in, right? It's pulling you down. But then you start to forgive. You forgive yourself. You forgive others. I love that it all starts with the forgiveness piece, though, because I think we are so hard on ourselves that we have to learn how to forgive ourselves, number one. Again, that helps to build up that self-efficacy, I think, though, that self-belief that, hey, I can overcome this. I can do this. And then you like stand taller, you feel stronger, and you start to, you know, shift into that like compassion energy, which is the fourth energy field that they're talking about in this self-perception chart. And what compassion is then is having compassion for everybody. You want to help people, but, you know, sometimes it's hard and sometimes you can't and sometimes people aren't ready for it. So they have to be ready for it. But how do you line up people to get ready to increase their energy, right? You have to go inside first. You always have to have that internal work first. And I think once you start that internal work, it never really stops. Like you were saying, it's like a journey. It is a journey because it's our life. So looking at a park bench with my daughter in a forest the other day, and it had, you know, the nameplate and all that, you know, the dates. And then the little dash in the middle, I pointed at the dash in the middle. I was like, you know what that is? She's like, what? I was like, that's our lifespan. Live every day. Uh-huh. Now it's ridiculous to that point, but it's also truth. We only have a very finite amount of time right here on Earth to bring out whatever that dream, belief, goal is, but we don't know that we have it tomorrow.
I think that's awesome, because that's something that, from my perspective, that's something that's not taught, and it should be taught. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one ever instilled in me the value of time. You know, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, time is not unlimited, but you don't really think of it unless you know, someone points it out, or you have a, you know, like you have a life, and other people, you know, you have a life event. So I think it's cool. I think it's something that should be taught a lot more.
I think so. Like when you were stuck in dark times and stuff, I guarantee you weren't thinking about tomorrow, right? Like some of those, like it was like, I'm living right now, and this is everything. Whatever that, you know, dark side is, because we all have our dark side. I think we should also embrace that dark side. I think that would also help our self-efficacy. Embrace it, hug it, be like, this is a piece of me. That's okay. There's the forgiveness piece. It's okay. I love you anyway, you say to yourself. You know, I think that self-love, that like we were talking about with Darla the other week, I think it's so important to learn how to self-love. And that helps create that belief in yourself to overcome any of those challenges.
Yes. Give ourselves permission to be human. And, you know, when I was, you know, you mentioned the dark side, you know, when I was, you're exactly right. You know, when I was in the dark side, I didn't think about, you know, anything but just getting through that muck and mud that I was in at the time. But wouldn't it have changed the game for me? It would have. Wouldn't it have changed the game for me if I would have known at the time that this was a phase that I had to go through in order to develop, you know, to be where I am today?
Exactly. I fully agree. We all had to have that. We all have our own crosses to bear, as it were. It's part of the reason why I have my cross tattoo, is because we all have our crosses to bear. We all have that challenge, those things that, man, they hurt like a mother, but an abusive mother, of course. No.
Yes.
I'm just playing. But no, it does, man. It's painful. And when you're stuck in that pain, and this is where I think some people are, that I hope we can reach and touch here with this podcast in particular, is like, when you're in that hurting piece, first you have to go into that pain. What do I mean by going into that pain? You have to feel that pain. You have to like understand where it's affecting you. Like, you can do all kinds of fun exercises with that piece alone, just track down your pains and stuff like that. Like, you close your eyes, you think about where the pain is, where is it generating in your body, where are you feeling it? Because it's always something different too with me. I get a lot in my shoulders and my back, because of that's where I take everything. I feel like I take everything on my shoulders.
I get a lot of
shoulder back pain.
I get a stiff neck. I'm taking something, you know, I get all, you know, my shoulders, everything gets all stiff, and it just settles into a lump into the back of my neck.
Yep, exactly. And this is where that whole, like, you have to learn how to get yourself into a relaxed state of being and feel that pain. Be inside that pain. You can even go into what color that pain is, and like you can start to play with it. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Because as you do that, you can start to kind of maneuver it like play. And that's where we're creators. We can actually create an atmosphere where we can take that block, that hurt, that pain, and grow from it. But you have to be okay with that, number one, and that forgiveness piece. it's okay to feel that way.
Yes.
It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel sad. We're supposed to feel emotions. We're human beings. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, even more so. We're supposed to experience all of it. So we've experienced a lot of the downsides. We've experienced some upsides, but I'd prefer more upsides in my future. So how do I want to get to those upsides?
Self-efficacy.
Right. You start inside. It's always that internal game, which is where I highly recommend anyone listening that you do some form of meditation, even a breath or two will work to start opening up that space. Granted, I'd say 5 or 10 minutes a day would be good, but you have to start somewhere. Some people say they can't meditate, which kind of cracks me up because you just sit there and you let things flow. Like you just let it go. It's just taking all those thoughts, all that stream of consciousness and making it go away.
One of the greatest gifts we have been given in this human experience is to collaborate with others. What happens when there is a subject we don't know about? We do research and begin to take action. To cut learning time in half, wouldn't it be nice if there was a place to go chock full of experts? Now there is, a buffet of coaches and teachers. Click on the link in the description to join Alan and I in this community full of heart-centered people.
Smaller and smaller.
For those that are listening too, when we talk about, this reminds me with breath work, look at the timeline a couple podcasts ago, and we had a guy named Wolfgang on our show, and he does breath work and just amazing work, just an amazing guy. And if you haven't listened to that show, well worth listening to. I'd highly recommend it.
Well, it all starts with breath. I agree. I think everything starts with breathing. We have to get up. We have to breathe first. That's why in the morning, it's so important for me when I actually realize I'm awake, I'm conscious and stuff like that. I take one really good deep breath. You know, you do that stretch. And say thank you because I have another day to play.
Yep.
I have another day to dream. I have another day to go after my goals, my visions. I think that it's that gratitude factor too. You have to be grateful. And I think that helps that internal belief as well. What do you think of that one?
You do have to be grateful. I mean, you know, gratitude is everything. Gratitude is attitude. You know, I'm sure everybody's heard that before, but it really is. You know, if you have a piss poor outlook, your attitude's going to be bad, and it's going to affect your thinking. It's going to affect your breathing. It's going to affect your health, and you're probably not going to go forth very successfully. If you have a good attitude and you're always looking for that blessing or whatever you're grateful for, just changes the game.
Well, and it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be all like major stuff. Like for me, I say thank you that I have a warm blanket over me, a soft bed that I can lie in. Like it's very simple. Very yes. Simple for me. I was listening to a Tony Robbins at one point, and he was talking of, this was many years ago, and this is when I made the decision to always wake up in gratitude, though, is that he's talking to a guy, give me a second here, there was like a rich guy and like kind of like not so rich guy, a normal person, I guess, as it were, and the rich person was very unhappy with things because he could never like really get into that gratitude mindset. He could never get into that, oh, I'm thankful that I have, you know, I'm all set, like really financially and all the other stuff, the world's my oyster kind of thing. But the other guy was like, he was like, well, what do you think when you get up in the morning? And the guy's like, I'm just grateful to have my first breath. And he's a much happier human. So it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. If you're grateful, start with gratitude in the morning with something very simple, like today's a success because I took a breath. I'm alive today. It makes it a lot easier than saying, I can't have success until I get to this point.
Yes, definitely.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense because that used to be my story. I used to always be living in, you know, I can't wait till this happens in my life. I can't wait till that happens in my life. I wasn't living the moment. So it's like I was missing out on entirety of life because obviously I wasn't in that future state that, you know, I wanted to be in, and, you know, always living in that dream world. Obviously I missed out on the present. So I missed out on a whole lot.
Yeah, that's something I really enjoyed about our episode with Kim Riley too, getting present with Kim. Like, it's so true though. If you can get into this moment, into this present moment, you can change everything in your life. Letting go of the past, number one, forgiving the past. That's a hard one.
And I saw a quote that I really like, and it's, to me, it's sobering. And it says that, what if you woke up in the morning with exactly everything that you expressed gratitude for the previous day? And yeah, I mean, there's been times where I don't even think I'd have a breath when I woke up because there's absolutely no gratitude for anything. Mm-hmm. So, and you're right. It doesn't have to be a major thing. I mean, well, people do gratitude lists, you know, and that's a tool people use to bring, some people can use. I mean, that's an option to bring themselves out of a, you know, not so healthy thinking, you know, out of a depressed state, you know, out of a low or whatever, you know, make a gratitude list, you know, that helps. But it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't have to be all that. And, you know, I mean, like I said, back then, you know, if I was just, you know, even though I was going through that stinky time, you know, if I was, you know, grateful just for the morning breath I took, I think it would have changed the game quite a bit.
Well, it wouldn't have changed the game.
It wouldn't have been as rough. Yes. Exactly.
It has changed the game. It just took us those hard lessons to learn to get us there.
Right.
That belief in yourself, though, I'm still like working on that myself. Like, I have a hard time like believing that I'm capable of doing all this stuff that I'm currently doing. Like, it's crazy watching things actually, my vision taking place and actually coalescing itself. It's really fun to watch. Kind of observing the observer, as it were.
Yes. I mean, an exercise that I try to do at times, and I've done it in other areas, is acting as if, you know, I'm not quite there with the belief in myself on something, you know, then the other option is to act as if, mm-hmm. you know, until I prove to myself, God damn it, I got it done.
It's so true, man. Like, there's very
few. You can do it.
Yep. That's kind of how I feel, man. There's very few things that I approach in life now that I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I'll go try it.
Right.
Whether I'm great at it or not, we'll find out. But I'll go try it.
Right. Exactly.
Again, exactly. I don't like the word try. I never really have. I think we should do or do not. There is no try, kind of Yoda style. Just because I'm just like, you know, we're only here for who knows. I just got to go have some fun. I got to go into the woods and go run naked. No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure I get arrested here, but maybe not with a naked bike ride though. You know, I could go do that, but it's too cold for that shit.
Yeah, you can do a naked bike ride.
Oh, I have gotten stuck in the middle of that. That's never any fun.
I can imagine that would be, for me anyway, that would be a little awkward.
Portland, man, they got some fun people around here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether that's been a thing or not with all the COVID stuff going on the past couple of years. I wonder.
Nah, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't
about either. It
Not since all the riots and stuff were happening down there. Sucked ass. But
yes.
Again, if, all right, see, folks, this is where, like, looking at, like, the negative situations and how you can shift them into positive things. Like, what did it change that was good, though? And it really brought awareness to certain problems that are still happening in our society. I mean, seriously, guys. How many times do we have to repeat the same cycle to grow? And we all get stuck in those cycles. So does society and at large. Everything gets stuck in some form of a cycle, some form of a trend. The cool part is, due to the law of rhythm, if it swings one way, it's gonna swing back eventually to the other side, which is the good, you know, there's good, there's bad. There's good, there's bad. And I don't know that I'd call it good or bad. There's positive and negative, but I don't know whether I'd call it that either. Because all we're attaching that positivity, that negativity to either side of it.
Yeah, we're calling it. We're putting the labels on it.
Yep.
I would say it's just a equal, that's all it is. It's an equal and opposite reaction. You know, we don't, you know, we can label it. We don't have to label it, though.
Exactly. It's our choice to label it. We can label anger as negative, but what's the positive in anger?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, there's some. However, for our state of mind and for our state of being, the less stressed we are, the more relaxed we are, the better our brains flow.
Yes.
And that's just science.
Yes.
It releases really good chemicals when you're in a relaxed state of being, which is again why I so highly recommend meditation for people. But once you get into that state of being, state of relaxation, that's like your thoughts just start to flow towards the direction that you want them to flow in, so that you're not always having to react.
And we're breathing better in that state, which is obviously increasing our amount of oxygen to the brain, which is definitely good.
Yeah, it also releases like the good chemicals, like the serotonin and that kind of thing, that helps us shift into that positive mindset.
Yes.
It's like exercise too, like run. That's why I run. Like I love running, although I need to get back on it. It's been a couple of weeks. It's not good. I got out of my habit again. See, that's the thing though, is like we all get into good habits and bad habits again, and that good and bad I don't really like, but I don't know what else to say with that. I think that it's part of the trends of life. It's part of that swinging rhythm, you know? It's like you're going to get into good habits, you're going to get out of good habits. You're going to get in good habits, you're going to get out of good habits. And it's also about replacing the habit, like the bad habits with the good habits. Instead of that bag of chips, you eat some carrots, you know? Which my weakness is chips, so that's why I say that.
I agree. And with the good and bad, for me, I had heard before and I really like it, and you know, truthfully, I could put it in practice a lot more. For me, instead of labeling something that's good or bad, I can think of it as it's either effective or it's ineffective, you know, for me at this, in this present time. And that's not judging the situation. That's not putting a negative connotation on
you know, either side of, you know, whatever's going on. It's just a fact, you know. You know, X, Y, and Z is either effective for what I want in my life right now, or X, Y, Z is ineffective, and therefore my choice is, if it's ineffective, I'm going to switch it up the best I can.
I agree. I like that terminology, effective or not effective. That's smart. That's a good saying, because that is true. I like that. Living towards the, this is one of my struggles with all of this, is so we're supposed to live in the now, the present moment, because it's the only moment we technically have to do anything. We're choosing to do it, doing a podcast, so in the hopes of sending forth that positive energy wave and helping people. Or we're choosing to do something else, sleep in or whatever, in my case, because I get up super early to do this stuff so that I can do it in between my, you know, M1s. Can either be in the present moment, or we can think about the future moment. Like, what is it? But I think there's a fine balance. I think we need to like think about that future moment to know where we want to go, or at least have a direction to go in. But we have to be in the present moment in order to get going in that direction. So I guess that's part of my struggle with the being in the present moment versus thinking about like goals, dreams, which I mean, I'm your dream concierge. This is what I do. Like, I love dreams. I love dreaming. I love breaking apart dreams. I love like talking about dreams. But
yep,
we know that we have to be in the now to get there.
Well, for me, what I was kind of elaborating on before with the, you know, missing out on being in the now, was it became a, and looking back, very ineffective tool. It became a escape from, because I was, you know, I was miserable, you know, at the time. And so to escape that miserable, you know, I would focus on where I wanted to see myself in the future and just plant myself there. And it became like it was an escape. It was a protective barrier.
That's where Dr. Joe Dispenza does really good work, is getting people into that being that future person, essentially. Gets you into that state of thinking about the future and then becoming that future right now. Now, I haven't mastered this yet by any way, shape, or form, or as much as I would love to. But it's a fun exercise to do, to think about like what's it going to be like when we have our full community built around Feel Great. We're just doing this as our M1. We're just, you know, we're able to fly to different places to visit, you know, to kind of spread that Feel Great feeling all around the world, right? Business trips.
It'll be amazing.
It'll be amazing. It'll be really, yes, fun. Now, how do we get in being in that state? And we think about all the feelings, all the people that are surrounding us, our friends, our family. What is in our life that wasn't in our life before? You know, whatever that means to you. We all have our different things. Like, I'm hoping I'll have my backyard paradise built for my wife by then. I'm, you know, our house will be paid off, you know, that kind of thing. So, and for you, it's completely different.
And I think as we're developing, as we're growing into that, kind of like, as I believe, it's kind of like I said before, where yes, we need to be in the present, but also it's that act as if, you know, we're already there. Would you agree or disagree?
I fully agree. We have to act as if we are there already right now. And that's where you got to take the future and bring it right here to the present.
Yes.
I think we should, we're coming to the top of the hour, so I do want to respect your time and our audience's time. So thank you all for joining us today on our talk with self-efficacy and that belief in yourself. think about the future and bring it to the present moment. Have fun with that exercise, by the way, guys. Thank you for joining us on Feel Great today. This is Matthew Collinson.
And this is Alan Francis. Be kind to yourselves, everybody. Allow yourselves to be human. And remember, with the right daily habits, you can feel great.
This is Alan Francis. We just wanted to thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and share it with all your friends. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. You join us later on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Bye now.